people from SEMA and the people from FEMA with specific questions that I have. I know that you have conducted a couple of public hearings, and from that a lot of questions have been raised. What I'm really interested in is obviously hearing about the public hearing, but having a work session with this county commission wherein we can deliver the answers that, that at least the public needs. And perspectives of where this county commission is coming from, where the 25% may or may not come from, what's going to be reasonable, but what's not going to be reasonable, what the what will be allowed by the state. I see that in 1993, for example, in Boone County during the flood, the 25% was waived by the federal government. And we need to pursue that to see if the same thing can happen here in Taney County, whether or not that will become reality. We don't know, but we're, it's not going to happen if we don't pursue it. But there are a number of questions that I've asked and set out for Bob that I think would be good for the public to hear. I don't intend for it to be a give and take this particular meeting with the public, but one with our staff person wherein we can ask a lot of questions and hopefully receive the answers that the public needs.
If you remember, Billy Long was talking about the 90-10 and all that, and then his staff sent the email right back that same day and said that the federal government is not going to mess with our ratio for this, but I mean, he made it clear that the federal government, he's already gone down that, and that the government's not waiving that for Taney County. But I just think we've got to have a work session. I mean, I understand, but we have not had any discussion, and we've got to start that because people are realizing that that's where I think they're frustrated when we say we don't have any information. But I understand we need to have the answers so we're comfortable having a discussion, but this is a work session with staff, not with the public.
And, Dan, at the meeting the other night when I was here with council and with the individuals that I worked with and was unable to attend that meeting, I feel it important to weigh in with some of the questions and hopefully some of the answers that.
Right. Well,
we're going to have many of the answers.
I want to pursue that. I just don't want to have a meeting where the public comes in, ask a lot of questions that we don't have answers to, and they leave here irritated at the county commission over something that we have no control over. And there's, from the meeting the other night, there's numbers that have to be plugged in, and we need to know what some of those numbers are. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with even the 25% match is something that is going to have to be discussed thoroughly. There's a lot of things that go along with that that can go wrong that cuts the whole 75% and everything out. I did visit with several people that wanted to let them take on the responsibility of the 75% match themselves as a private organization.
Is it all right with you if we continue with that 2 o'clock hearing then on Thursday of next week?
We can put that down at that. If we see that certain things aren't going to be answered by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, I just want to know that I want to be open that we could cancel the meeting.
Yes, sir.
And just so you know, I'm not in this meeting. It's a work session, so I'm not going to be soliciting any opinions from the public. It's a work session between staff and commission, so public can't come and listen, or they can listen online. But this is a work session for us to have a conversation about process. So it's not a public meeting where we're going to ask for opinions. This is one of those, you know, if the public shows that it's more of they're observing versus participating. But Thursday's fine.
Okay.
Next, go ahead.
HPRP monthly report.
Yes.
I put that on Monday.
Yes. Have you got that there with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Airport manager's agreement. I sent that to Mr. Cotty earlier in the week. He is reviewing it.
Are we wanting to schedule that for Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the annual contract with the airport manager, is that right? I believe that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And they're looking at doing it for 3-year. Records destruction. Can I put that on Monday?
Let me see what document you have with that.
I have an email from Christy Smith. I don't have the actual list yet.
It just needs to be entered in the record. I don't think it has to be on the...
Our county clerk has always requested that it be on the agenda.
And my question is why?
Because it's always been done that way.
That'd be a
probably.
Question for Ms. Neely.
Well, let's ask that.
Okay. Finley is requesting permission to go out for bid on an outside audit service. I have proposal, all the documents attached here.
What's he looking for? Just
it's time to go out for bid.
Does he need it? Permission? I mean,
he sent me an email and sent me documents and.
Who's it?
I mean, it's a requirement. It's his department.
He wants permission to do it himself because we do not have a purchasing agent currently.
You mean to come up with the bidding specs and?
He has the proposal and everything attached.
I would just think I want to review it by legal because we've had some challenges with our bidding specs, but sure. I mean, it's a 5-minute sure.
He wants to address the commission on Monday to get approval from the commission to pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
Let me see it, Ron.
Well.
These are just other items that I'm waiting to hear back on. That's all we have. Do you gentlemen have anything that you'd like to see on the agenda next week?
The only thing I had on my list I would like to have some discussion is moving forward with the selection process or how we're going to narrow down the resumes we got for the different positions. If we're going to form a committee to do interview, things like that. I didn't know if that was something we were going to talk about today. It's posted today, right?
Yes.
So the only thing I would say is if we have a follow-up to that today. So.
Okay.
That's all I had.
How is that posted?
And the other thing is, I was contacted by Donna Neely yesterday. Our BOE dates that we have scheduled, she is down to less than 2 days. All the other days were pretty full, so she's needing more days. So she's going to ask the commission to come up with some more days of availability in the month of July. So. I think we had 12 days ready, 12 or 13 days that are full.
When do we have the SID rescheduled, or do we have that?
Monday.
It is this Monday.
Uh-huh.
Are you finished with that one?
Go ahead, Dan.
The request from an engineering person and a survey person with an attorney to talk about P&Z and road vacations and things like that. Was that all taken care of? We had a discussion about that before. Did we set a date for them to meet with us or something? Or
July 5th is our vacation day. That's when they're supposed to come in. And if they had questions, they were supposed to talk to our attorney, I think is what we left it at. Because there's no reason to have a pre-meeting.
Right. I understand that. Right. I just didn't know where we left that total conversation.
Right. So we left it just the first, that July 5th, that Monday, that Tuesday.
Okay.
Is the date we're posting, I think, Nikki, you've got it posted for road vacates that day, right, on July 5th?
July 5th, yes.
Yep. First session of the quarter.
I would like sometime to have a follow-up discussion with the sewer board, between the sewer board and the commission, especially in light of our discussion with the sewer district in Boone County. But does that make sense?
Oh, it makes sense. I'm trying to think. What they had a meeting on Tuesday. I don't have the results of that meeting that they had, but I think it'd be wise to do that, Ron, another week or so. Probably not. Maybe not next week. The week following.
First week of July.
Yeah, but just see.
First week of July is when we start BOE, is it not?
Yeah, but yes. We have Mondays.
Monday morning.
Monday mornings. We gave them some timelines, didn't we?
Well, I don't believe we really did, but that we need to. I think number one, it would be.
No, we don't have to go there. But yes, let's get a follow-up schedule. I think you're right, Ron.
Would you check with their chairman and see if the possibility works for the 5th? If not, maybe it works for next Thursday. Just doesn't have to be a long time period, but we need to set something in motion so that.
Like 30 minutes?
Yes.
And if they want to do it via email, I don't know how they want to do it, but we just need to communicate, and our goal is to get some dates and understand what steps they're taking to progress. I think we're all wanting to make sure that we're moving forward to the ultimate goal here.
Okay. Can you tell me where you left off on Monday, the bid awards?
We awarded, if you look at here, we awarded the newspaper. We awarded the newspaper, and we are going to the only responder, whoever that responder was. And then we did not award the rock bid yet.
When would you like that back on the agenda?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
Oh, not today.
Not until after we talk to legal. That's okay. For me. I mean, I'll have to get back. But just put it back in your file until we figure out what we're going to do with
Did Rockford. You want to address that, Dan?
We may schedule that after our legal meeting today.
Correct. Okay. That's why I firmly
Somebody
believe.
Would just let me know so I can get that on there.
Yep.
Schedule.
Okay. I've got several ideas on that. I think we may have went one step farther than what mm-hmm. I would like to have went with the other awards. So.
Okay.
Okay.
We've one more thing. We have 15 minutes only scheduled today for county board appointments and county positions. I have not read through those resumes. You have those up in
mm-hmm.
your office. And let's set a time definite next week, guys, where we can go through these. We've got to make decisions.
I have already gone through the HR. I'm going to give you, Nikki, what I've I guess my question is, we all need to go through the piles, but we also need to think, we need to talk about, I'm hoping today to talk about the process. What is the process to move forward? That's why only 15 minutes, but I agree, Ron, we need more time next week.
Well, right now what we have set in place without changing our policy on how to move forward is that this county commission will make decisions regarding those.
Right.
And I appreciate the fact that it would be nice to put together a team of elected officials within the courthouse and department heads to move forward in a number of areas. But until we sit down with them and have buy-in for that,
right.
which is going to be
time-consuming
in itself, I think we need to put that off for the future. And we need to go ahead and make some decisions about some of these positions.
I have gone through, just so you know, I've gone through the HR ones. Do you guys want, I think it's best you guys select your own, and then we kind of compare notes versus me influencing your decisions. Is that all right with you guys?
Sounds good to me.
I have the folders upstairs.
I haven't done through the road and bridge, and I haven't done through the, we stopped purchasing, so we didn't finish the purchasing posting, correct?
I mean, it was on there.
Right,
and then
it's off.
To take it
right,
off.
No, you're supposed to be off. Okay, perfect.
But enough people saw it that we have several.
Okay.
Was it ran somewhere else besides on the Internet?
Missouri Career Center.
So it went there and that wasn't pulled?
Yes, it was.
It was pulled from there also?
Yes.
Okay. Can we put it back on?
Well,
and set a time 10 days from now?
We could.
We have to move forward.
But I can tell you this. Once you go through these resumes, you're going to say, we have a great selection.
I'm glad to hear that. But legally, we have to make sure we comply with what the law says before we hire. What?
There is no guidelines for that. But I think we need to probably
vote. Separate those for me so that I can go through all that, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Nikki.
Upstairs. You're welcome.
If you can, you let him look at them and let me look at them, or could you make me a copy of those also?
I can make you a copy of all
just
of them.
Just make me a copy of those. Unless
just purchasing? For all of them.
All of them.
There's a lot of them, Dan.
There's all three folders are probably this
okay.
thick.
Yeah, just let me go through them then. Just let me go through them. I can review through them. I've already talked to several individuals.
Okay.
You?
It's me.
Okay.
Next order of business is the OED position and EEZ. Tim, is that you?
Part of it.
I'm going to give you a choice. You can either go to the podium or sit at a table with a microphone.
Here's one of the microphones.
Closer right now. Well, you guys had called the meeting for this, so I'm needing to know where you guys are going regarding the OED, you know, discussion and what you guys were intending with that. We were here today for the EEZ, more so importantly, as the IDA chair. I've asked also Jeff Seifer to be here, and we also have representatives from Branson and Hollister. At our last IDA meeting, we know the county has been faced with challenges in regards to the OED placement, and the original ideas, if I can refresh everybody, is that we were looking towards the county for handling the EEZ rollout and everything. Jeff from the Springfield Economic Regional Partnership was good enough to help us last year, and we already have a actual EEZ map that was drawn in September or October of last year. And so we've just kind of been waiting, you know, for things to go further. Since it really hasn't happened, and we understand, again, all the challenges that you guys are faced with in the day-to-day of things and other matters that are taking more precedent, but the IDA met last month, and we had the same people represented as far as not people, but same parties in the county participating in the IDA meeting and also in regards to the racetrack that was there as well to make a presentation. With that, what we agreed is that we would like the county's permission to move forward with the process of getting the EEZ going. We have received assistance offerings from not only City of Branson, but City of Hollister, as well as the Springfield Economic Regional Partnership to help us with the paperwork, if you will, and the processes to go through. But we're looking for the County Commission's blessing with moving that forward. We believe not only just the racetrack, which in this discussion, they are in need probably of an EEZ, as well as we've reached out to other businesses in the area currently and ones that we would like to draw in for the future. And we continue to get those calls, you know, monthly, weekly, daily from the partnership or from the state, asking us about new businesses wanting to move to our area, and the EEZ is something on their checklist that they will be looking for. Do they utilize it every time? No. But, you know, I anticipate that it would be very beneficial to the future of the county to finally get over this hump of having an EEZ. We have also, and again to refresh you guys, the IDA board had already met in like September or October last year with the school districts, which when you do an EEZ, you're going to, as part of the final process, set up another board to do the EEZ. One of the concerns is always the school districts or the other tax districts that may be affected by that. The area superintendents were brought in, met with, and at that point had no qualms or problems with it as part of this vetting process, if you will, of going forward with the EEZ. I anticipate there'll be another visitation of them as well to make sure that they're all in line with it as well. Yes, Danny.
That took place some time ago. Your school,
mm-hmm.
superintendents and all that, that's been, what, a couple of years?
No. It was back when we drew the map. Map was drawn in September, October, I met with them like November, December.
Yeah,
nothing's changed that dramatic.
Okay, I lost track of the time because we've talked about this for some time.
You know, and as part of that, to be, you know, good, well-rounded community board, the IDA had an opening, and if you'll remember, we also brought an area superintendent onto our board for the further processes of not only the EEZ but other economic development in the future, so they would have a voice on our board as the IDA, and that is Carlos Osborne with the Kirbyville School, and he's done very well with us and has been very much an asset to the board also. But we want to make sure in the future of things that we're touching those entities as well to make sure they're in cooperation with each other.
Tim, one of the questions I've got is process-wise. So we've seen the maps. I'd have to find my map again. I haven't seen it in September, October, unfortunately. But so we have the map. We've had some the initial round of meetings. We probably have to have some more refresh meetings just for the public to have some input.
Correct.
And then there's an application that what I'm hearing is the IDA board wants to work with the two city, both Branson and Hollister, to get the application filled out, correct?
Correct.
And then it's basically, at that point, what's the next step after that?
And Jeff, if I can defer to you, that's why I had Jeff come today.
No problem.
Commissioners, the next step is really just formalizing a board, and as the chief elected official, one of you would be appointed to the board, and so we would find those members, and the board really, when I say board, they really just set which organizations and companies can take advantage of the EEZ. So they set that in the beginning of the program, and they meet on an annual basis.
Create an ordinance, I guess, directing the assessor to do something once the EEZ is set.
That's correct.
And then the state has to do some approval of application, or is that correct? The state has to do some
sort there of is an approval. In the application, really the major step is showing the need for an enhanced enterprise zone, and to do that, it takes a abbreviated blight study, which you can go around, show some distressed areas that would benefit from new industry coming into the area, and so that's a part of the application. Okay. So,
I mean, I remember the discussions last fall. I mean, I was supportive, but I think we were all, as the school boards learned more, they were on board, and they were concerned. I think the first time we went through this whole phase, it was around the TIF time, and there was a lot of confusion of Chapter 100 bonds and TIFs and all that. So I see no reason why we wouldn't move forward with the application process. I mean, because part of the application is to have some – we're going to have some hearings to make sure that we've collected and got a good – I mean, maybe we should go with the hearings, try to do the hearings first.
There is a timeline that you would follow, and that includes a public meeting.
Okay.
So that you would have representation from the state to answer questions.
Okay.
Formal request, Tim, if I'm not mistaken, is to allow the IDA board to move forward with the process.
Correct.
And obviously you would keep us informed as to where we are on that process, and I would love to get an update, if you will, on what that timeline is, Jeff.
I'll be happy, and another thing I maybe should have been better at doing is, in order to refresh you guys of that, I have that IDA map saved electronically from Jeff before, so I can send it to you guys if you don't have it. But just again, the other thing to keep in mind there is the airport, including all the racetrack area that is in question right now, is in the EEZ. It's already been drawn that, not because of the racetrack, but because of the airport, it was drawn that way, as well as the mountain and also the Commerce Park, Industrial Park on the north side of Branson. So all that being said, that's, again, people that are already there with existing businesses that could thrive from this possibly, and we would just like to get the ball rolling.
Those are the three areas that you had on the map.
I identify those as because of the fact we pointed those out as being parts of the county that we definitely believe would benefit from it in the future. The other thing we keyed on, Danny, was to, with that, most of the time what little knowledge I have of this and learning as I go with Jeff has been a good teacher to us, is that they look for rail, highway accessibility and all that. All of 65 running all of Taney County is in it. So we're going to have four-lane highway all along it as well. So the deal is I'd say better than three-fourths of the county is actually in the EEZ. The biggest part that is not in it is actually the city of Branson itself, and we saw that more as a tourism area as opposed to an EEZ because the tourism will not be affected on anything to do with the EEZ at this point and never will.
I have one question. Would that be overlapping of the EEZ that was just formed within Forsyth and outside, or how does that
no,
work?
No, it will not be.
So it would exclude that.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, just for the to bolster the IDA, I would entertain a motion that we request them formally to move forward with the process that is needed for the establishment of an EEZ.
I'll move that we I'll make a motion to what he said. You can just take the audio that way. I don't have to reword it.
Is there a second?
I didn't understand totally what you...
I'll word the motion. The motion is to direct the IDA board to move forward with the process, the steps necessary to form an EEZ in Taney County.
Right. I'll second the motion with...
Motion's been made and seconded. Discussion? Go ahead, Dan.
I have concerns with total... This is exactly what you brought up there about the total number of acres or the amount of land that is taken into the EEZ. That board would basically dictate what property owners could have established on their property?
No. Mm-hmm. No, they have no process of overseeing what goes on that property. Okay? And again, Danny, all we are asking today is will the commission approve us to move forward, and the motion, as I understand it, is for the moving forward of the process for the discussion and moving the EEZ to a vote at a later date. So public meeting, more knowledge for you, all of that, and for our community, more importantly, to understand the EEZ because we've got to move forward on the process. Now, whether that process comes to a no or a yes at a later date is yet to be seen. But we're not going to move the EEZ ball until we exactly enter into this process to move forward. The map's drawn. If everyone's got more questions about it, that will create the forum for it to be done. And that's what we're asking for today.
Jeff, give me just a couple of words on how an EEZ works, so, and how we encourage business to move into the community, what we can do. That will, I think, help.
There are really two tools that we use on a daily basis when it comes to existing businesses, expanding, adding one or two jobs, or attracting new business, and that's the Quality Jobs Program, which is housed at the state level. We don't have any control. The state can issue that without any of our approval. So there's that, and then there's Enhanced Enterprise Zone, which is really a 50% real property tax abatement. It's an option to take. And so often what we see is we put those two programs side by side, and whichever one benefits the company the most, that's the one they'll choose. And so through a company wants to spend $1 million building a building, those real property improvements, those the taxes on the real property would be abated for at a, an amount of 50% for X amount of time, 10 years. And so that's what we commonly see.
Isn't that done on a business-by-business decision-making process?
It is. It is. And some companies, it doesn't make sense for them to even take advantage of it. So and it is certainly in no way a land control issue whatsoever.
But it's also it is a tool whereby we may attract a business to an area and then
that is correct.
Create jobs within the community.
And my concern was is the properties that you mentioned have we've been approached for assistance in the racetrack area? I would say that it was from the airport. It wasn't from the racetrack, but it was from the airport. The whole area there was. Approached the industrial park beside the mountain. That whole area has been a topic of conversation here. The mountain itself. I have no problem with that. Maybe the lack of understanding of how you take in an entire area, like as you said, with the four lane and all that, is something that is of some concern to me. Is if it's voted in or whatever, how does that affect stretches of property where somebody might have some resistance to, or possibly somebody that was wanting to bring something in, and could they get the support of the IDA along with this enhanced enterprise zone?
To answer your question, there is not this is certainly not a land control type deal. And so what happens is the board led by the commission will establish which NAICS codes or which companies can take advantage, have the possibility of taking advantage of that tax abatement. And then at that point, a company can choose or not to choose to take advantage of that. But in no way will it dictate what companies can locate or where they can locate. It's just another tool.
Or what people can do with their property.
Or what people can do. Yeah, exactly. And typically what we're seeing is whole counties are going and doing an EEZ. So before it would be a community in a county would go do their EEZ, but now what we're seeing is it's much easier just to blanket the entire county, because if a company wants to locate American Heart, if something like that wants to locate in Eastern Taney County, then it's an advantage to have that tool available. So
there's some northern counties in northwest Missouri that have utilized this, that are very, very rural in nature, and it has just been boon for them. They've really profited from it.
Right, Ron. What I understand is, as we've went through this with the city of Forsyth and other cities that have requested these enterprises, are they expandable once you have one designated?
They are not expandable once you have one designated. You can designate multiple zones, but again, it's better to just do one, because the challenge is when you work on the blight study, the abbreviated blight study, you don't want to have to come back and do that in 5 years or 10 years, because that blight may no longer exist.
One thing that but part of the process of the public hearings is to have these discussions about I want my property in, I don't want my property in, to answer these questions. So really all we're doing from a motion is not discussing the EEZ, is just to give you guys direction to say please go and start having the process. I assume somewhere during the process you're going to show some maps to say this is what we're looking at, so the people who may have concerns or that are in or not in can voice their concerns and opinions, so that there's a process where everyone can be heard, and that's through that public hearing process, right?
You are correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Jim, I'm not totally understanding how this affects things like the SID that we are reviewing now, or SIDs that might be future SIDs. That would be for a community development type deal, and if it laid within a enhanced enterprise zone, how does that have any effect, or can it lay within?
It's overlaid,
and it will not have an effect. And again, this is specific to real property improvements, and that is it. So it is, you're not going to see, you know, we've done probably five of these in the region, and you're not going to see these conflicts come up. But I think through the public forum and even other meetings, we can show that. So.
Motion's been made and seconded. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Is there any discussion you guys wanted to have about the OED then?
Looking at the time and knowing that we have people that are stacked up, I would prefer that we discuss that hopefully in the near future.
Well.
And we will make sure that
at your
that
request,
happens.
Just let me know when you guys would like to have us back here.
Thank
regarding
you, sir.
That.
Tim, we have several positions that we're trying to look at, and we'll just take that up when we take those positions up.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry for all the questions, but I've got to ask.
That's cool. Ask.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hi, Gary. Depends on if you want to go into a staff departmental update with the public administrator. Carol, do you want to come up? You had some. Let's move into this. Those of you that are waiting with 911, we're going to be just a few minutes behind, and I apologize.
Good morning, honorable commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've typed out this request. Back in July of last year, I had come in and asked for another 20-hour staff because I had a 20-hour staff. And then later, you cut my 20-hour staff, which I was asking for a full-time at that time. So I'm here to request to hire a full-time office staff for the public administrator's office. This office is a very busy office. It is the only busy office in the county that I know of that only has one employee. And I realize that you don't know what the duties are that we do, what we do with individual people. A few of what I do... I'm out of the office a lot. I'm in meetings, care plan meetings, almost daily and during the week, about every other day. And then sometimes into the night and weekends, I'm in nursing homes and hospitals and ERs. And if I'm not in care plan meetings, we call them care plans when I go to nursing homes, and then I'm in court, I'm delivering furniture, I'm visiting wards, I'm going to doctor's appointments. With the people I take care of, sitting in ER with wards at all hours of the night, making purchases, taking inventory of properties, attending auctions. These are just a few of the duties that I do. But when I return to the office, I'm returning phone calls, paying many, many bills, staying late. My one staff is working extra hours, coming in Saturdays, and this isn't fair to her. And she doesn't necessarily want to do that, but we can't, and we still can't get everything done. In the month of May only, we have documented 683 phone calls. Now, these have to be documented. They're typed into our program because we have to go back over these. I mean, so this takes the time, which Terry does that, and that's a lot of having to come in and work late. We have to do that because we have reports we have to make to the probate court. And so we have to have backup documents. I wrote 382 checks for bills that were mailed out for the people I take care of. I write the checks. Terry has to stop and mail them out, and that's all during the month of May. There's just not enough hours for myself and my one staff to get everything done that needs to be done to take care of these individual people. There's daily bank statements to balance, daily reports to Family Services, Social Security. Letters have to be written to creditors. There's monthly reports to be run and filed with the probate court. They're stacked up so high right now. And they're several months behind. There's decisions to be made regarding the care of these individuals, life and death decisions that I have to make, conversing with the doctors and you know, getting input and making these decisions. We have many files that need to be sorted through, and there's just not enough time to work in these files and get them out. And, you know, some of them we need to go through and get rid of some things if we can, because we're running as much filing cabinets as we have, we're running out of space. And the court, probate court, is appointing me more difficult cases, people from jail, and it's all very time consuming. And I have to get people admitted to the hospitals, and that's being on the phone trying to get call all over the state to try to get them admitted. I'm only one person, and I'm finding it difficult to do the job the people elected me to do in a timely manner, and with myself and my one staff. It's just, and I'm not complaining about what I do. I like what I do. I like taking care of the people. But it's just getting to be a lot, too much for Terry and I, actually. And I believe it's important that I have another full-time staff to help us out. And as I've reported before, the statute 473.73 says...
473
It says for every 50 or more cases, you may be provided with full-time staff paid by the county. Whether the word is may or shall, it doesn't matter to me. It still says that I require an extra help for us to be able to do the job that we are hired to do.
But you understand the may and the shall tells us what we have to
I know,
do.
I know it does. Do. I know it does. But it doesn't make, you know, it doesn't make any difference to me and to Terry that we're not getting it done, you know. I know. I understand that puts it back in your court, and that's why I'm asking you for extra help.
How many cases do you have appointed to you right now?
I have, since I took office, 164, and I'll be getting another one here in a...
And those are active?
The active are 100, probably about 110. The others, though, even though, I mean, I guess you'd call them inactive, but they're not, because we're still working in their files. I mean, we are still working in files. So to me, I don't consider them inactive.
But you do more with the active files.
Oh, yes, we do more with the 110, yes.
The 110 are, you're out, that's the people you're visiting at nights, weekends,
yes.
All that stuff.
Yes,
110.
Okay. And some of those are... estates, but the deceased estates are taking, you know, they're deceased estates, but they're still very active because we're having to actually individually go into their homes and clean out their houses and things. So it's very active. So I have this in writing if y'all want copies of it. I have this down if you would want copies. I don't know if you do or not.
I'd be delighted to
take
a copy of that. We are scheduled with you tomorrow morning for executive session and your staff at 8 a.m.
Well, are we still doing that? Jillian had
8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, Jillian had emailed me to cancel that one because we were here. So you want us to go ahead and come in the morning?
We're not able to go into executive session because we're running 25 minutes behind with all these people that are waiting. So if that will work for you, that would be best.
That'll be
to bring this up tomorrow morning in executive session.
Okay. Yes, because we had it on our calendar. I started to take it off, but okay, we will do that.
Thank you. We will inform the girls upstairs.
Thank you for your time.
Let's push it back to 10. This is our guys here. Let's push it back a little bit to 10:15 or so.
Road and Bridge guys, can we move you back to forward to 10:15?
You're at 9:45 now.
We're running about that far behind, if that's all right with you gentlemen, and then we will take you up at that time. And if we could bring the group forward that's the 911 advisory board, maybe we can bring you up to these tables.
Can you do the chair too? A recess or keep on going?
Just a minute for one of our kitchen commissioners to return. Good morning, all. Apologize for keeping you waiting. Who wishes to begin?
Well, first of all, gentlemen, I'd like to applaud you for the bold and gold. This is my first meeting with you all since that's been up, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm very appreciative of our leaders pushing that forward for us. That's great. Gentlemen, I have not attended a couple of the meetings that I understand you all might be working towards some type of a committee or a group or a, research committee to be looking into funding. And I think you all received Barnwell's email on offering our services from the advisory committee. However you wish to pursue that, as far as what are our alternatives, what's going on at the state level. I mean, we do have a little bit of information about that. But number one is, we're just wanting to make for certain that we're here to let you know what we know about the budget, and it's been in front of you about, you know, the decline in the revenue. and just trying to be at your disposal on how you wish to pursue our problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, what we've done is we've moved forward with trying to get a consultant, an individual to kind of start assessing where we are. Obviously, we know the trends of revenue are going down. That doesn't take anybody to tell us that. But what we've got to do is start taking steps. I think we've got about, I would think, 2.5 years of revenues before we have a serious situation. And what we're going to be asking of the consultant is to evaluate where the money is spent, how it's spent, the arrangements that we have, and then come up with any recommendations that could help us reduce the expenses. And I don't know if we can operate within the revenue stream because the revenue stream is dropping off so fast.
Right.
I mean, it's a moving target. It'd be different if it just dropped 15% and stopped, but every year it continues to drop. So kind of looking in a good time to look is, you know, and plan is before we're in a desperate situation. Because right now, I know some counties north of us near the Kansas City area that they subsidize their 911 by over $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
I can tell you from GCR, we don't have it.
I understand.
You know, and so we know that we can't subsidize. And so I think we're faced within the next two years a wall that we're going to have to work through.
And a little over a year ago, I think we brought it to you about maybe moving our tariff up.
Yep.
And if you'll look at what the state is doing, of course, with this interim committee that they put together, that Speaker of the House Tilley has put together, they're going to have to come up with some kind of a dollar amount from the wireless companies, even if we do go forward with that from a state level. And so what they're going to be looking at is what currently is the phone tariff paying, and then is there a medium between that and what they're going to charge wireless?
Right.
So I guess what I'm asking again, I really feel like that if we could revisit maybe moving our tariff up a little bit during this particular time that we're trying to struggle. I mean, it wouldn't take much for us to have a couple of computers or recording equipment to go out, and it'd be a big hole in our budget.
Understand. I know that one of the discussions, I think you've been in Jeff City through some of the hearings and stuff, one of the discussions the state legislators have talked about is consolidation of dispatch centers and go more regionalized versus county by county, you know, and doing different PSAP options and all that. Obviously, the consultant that we're going to bring on board is going to look at all that and hopefully do it in a timely fashion. I know Ron's been working and working through all the details of that, but loud and clear, I mean, it's a concern, and we have to do something. Let's put it that way. We have to plan.
In 2008, I had made the statement the other day to Chris and to Jimmy Russell that the decline in revenue stream, and the reason I made the statement that I thought it would run out this year is because I found a note to self that said in the last of 2008 we had discussed the steady decline of revenue stream, and that by 2011 we thought that it would be at a critical stage. And this county commission is taking it upon themselves now to take that step before it gets to complete having to drag the resources out of our own revenue stream. So that's where we're at with this, is we're trying to get a jump start on it. We're trying to have, and like Jim said, we've already talked about a consultant to help. We need input from everybody that this affects to make sure that we don't reach that point where this has been before the state for years.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since I've been in office, I believe. This is my seventh year. So anyway, I guess as an advisory group, if we, is that what we're, our main purpose is here today, to see if you would be, are you going to take the consultant's ideas and put them into a format for a meeting? Is that what you're going to do, Ron, Jim, or is that what you had in mind?
Actually, when we discussed the consultant, there were a number of things that we wanted a consultant to look at. The office itself, the personnel, the advisory board relationship that we have. Hopefully, we're going to rebuild that and rekindle the relationship between the commission and the advisory board. Here the other day, I mentioned Dave Woolery on the board, and he hadn't been on it for 8 or 10 years. That's how far behind I was with it. And I really need to be brought up to snuff on what you're all thinking is. But the idea and the concept with the consultant was so that we could move forward with somebody who serves on a temporary, not full-time basis contractually, or as an employee for a 60-day period or 90-day period of time, that will in fact dedicate their time to working with you all and helping to not only formulate the questions but finding the answers that we need, and in turn work with individuals at Jeff City. I was with Missouri Association of Counties execs yesterday on the telephone, chatting about what we can do and which counties have been most involved. Of course, the cheerleader, if you will, for county governments for the last few years has been Betty Knight, who's the Platte County Presiding Commissioner. And Betty has really led the charge. But even though we have great people who are leading the charge in Jefferson City, nothing's happened. And it's frustrating, I know, year after year, not just for you all on the advisory board and for you all that know how important this is to the people within this county and every county across the state, but it's become critical for a number of areas where there is no 911. And we have to find a statewide 911 system so that people can be protected within the boundaries of the state of Missouri. And right now they're not. I used the example the other day, you know, if my daughter's traveling through another county and has an accident and dials 911 and her life's on the line and nobody answers, that's a horrible situation to be in, and we've got to rectify that. And I think that more and more people telling this story, and that's what we're planning on doing across the state, is going to have an impact. As small as it might be, it will be an impact. But locally, yes, can we look at what the percentage is that we're operating under? I know when this was first formed, we started at the 15% level, which is the maximum. And now we're down to what? Where are we, Kent?
10%.
We're at
10%.
And even with that increase, that which is minimal on the phone bills, quite frankly, it's going to be, over a period of time, a Band-Aid approach. But is it something that can answer the immediate problem? Probably. And is it something that this commission should take a look at? I think so. And I think that's what you're telling us, is to consider that again. Obviously, you have. Did I understand you correctly to state you had suggested that
Yes. This
past year? So, and I believe it's something that we should look at now as one of those steps. We are, as soon as hopefully within the next 10 days, going to have a consultant on board. That consultant will be chatting with all of you. And hopefully it's going to be someone that you're all aware of and whom you know and that is quite knowledgeable with 911 and how it was enacted within Taney County, how it got to be where it is today, et cetera. And I think I can state that that's going to come to fruition, hopefully following executive session we're having today. Okay. I truly believe that we need more input and more meetings with this board. That's probably certainly my fault. I've been here for 6 months and have not sat down with you all to chat about this problem. But we know that a problem exists. We know that we have to find an answer. And I want you to know that we're committed to finding that answer. We need to see what all the options are out there. If it's not forthcoming from the state, where will it be coming from? Because I don't want to see us lose 911 service in this county. or within the cities in this county. And I think that we need to work with the cities to make sure that happens. I've sat with just a preliminary discussion with Dean Krutoff in the city of Branson. He's in agreeance. We have to work together to find a solution, and we intend to do that. And we don't intend to sidestep or bypass the advisory board. We intend to utilize you all and your expertise and your knowledge and move forward in consensus on what we should do. We just don't know what that is yet, but we're going to have a discussion regarding personnel today in executive session.
And then the intergovernmental, the governmental agreement, we're working.
We have a council that has looked at the agreements we had for a short period of time with the city of Branson's, although that has been, the funding, that has been released. With the knowledge that we have to have new intergovernmental agreements. The agreement that's in place, all three county commissioners are deceased that signed that, and the mayor of the city of Branson that had signed it is deceased. So that's another issue. We have to have an updated agreement. Council is looking at, working on that, and drafting a new agreement, which we will push for signage ASAP as soon as we receive it.
And part of the, just kind of along that line, it probably got a little bit more in the media than it needed to about us withholding funds because we were just trying to get our hands around what the agreement said. And so, it was delayed longer than we anticipated. Just what we kind of asked was hold it until we see the agreement to see what the agreement says. And do we have to give all 12 months at one time? Is it a month by month? And so
he's talking about the payment to the city.
The payment to the city because, it had held a lot longer than we had hoped, but it took a little while to get the information that we had asked for. So, but anyway, we're like.
Actually, Tammy got that to me right away. Let me.
Well, I think there was.
I didn't get it to you all soon enough.
Was it? I thought it was a different.
Well, there's other information we were looking for as well.
It wasn't this way. It was something outside here. So.
Guys, any of the rest of you have some comments? Chris? No?
I have one quick comment. The saying of if 911, we want to keep 911, we don't make sure it don't go away. Really, quite frankly, a big expense of 911 the way it is to fund those 10 call takers for 5 from Branson, 5 for the mm-hmm. Sheriff's Department. And quite frankly, even if 911 would go away, those calls would still be there. The people may have dialed a 7-digit number, but we really couldn't do it with those call takers anyway. So even if 911 would go away, there's still a good part of it that we just can't do without because the calls keep coming.
No, I understand that. But if I'm traveling through this county, I don't know what that number is to dial if I have an emergency.
Well,
it's just so easy
and
to push 911.
That's why we have 911. Yeah. And especially,
or in my car, or you still dial.
Especially so many of the tourists that come in here. That just wouldn't work.
Right. Again, we're going to follow up, and as soon as we make a decision, hopefully this afternoon, we'll be in contact with you all with what we have done. And then we're going to work with you to build the scope of all the questions that, and matter of fact, it would be helpful to us if you would start that sooner rather than later. What questions need to be asked? We're formulating some. What answers do we need to find? The obvious question is consolidation a possibility? That may or may not be of the dispatch centers that we have. But it's a question, and it's one that needs to be addressed. But there are a number of others that need to be addressed as well. What can we do better, more effectively, more efficiently? And what options are there out there that exist? As Jim has already alluded, some counties are dipping into general county revenue to ensure that the 911 service is fully supported. So we have to look at all options.
Right. Well, we are here and willing to help in any way we can, and if you want to put a work session together or anything like that, contact Tammy. She has all of our contact information, and we're willing to help in any way we can. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you all. I appreciate you being here. Thank you.
you.
Thanks, guys.
Would you have one of the girls go ahead and see if R&B can come back?
Yep.
Yeah. I've heard anything from Dave Swartz.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with him on the way over here.
Hey, Danny, your microphone's still on. Just remember that. I didn't. Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but it's up, still on.
Yeah. So, sounded great over the phone. Sounded really perky and everything. But, making pretty good recovery. All right.
Do you gentlemen have an objection to going into recess for 10 minutes?
No, I have no objection whatsoever.
County Commission will stand in recess for 10 minutes. We will reconvene at 10:10.